English Across the Pond.
Hello, hello, our dear English Across the Pond listeners and learners. Welcome to, or welcome back to, another episode of English Across the Pond, the complete English experience for you, an English language learner. My name is Jennifer, and I'm a teacher from the US.
And I'm Dan, and I'm a teacher from England.
English Across the Pond is this weekly podcast created and delivered to you every Friday for free. However, I mentioned English Across the Pond is the complete English experience because with this podcast every week, Dan and I, two native speaking English teachers, create weekly lessons to help and support this podcast episode. So this podcast episode and every podcast episode is about a general theme in English. And you can sign up to get our weekly lessons, which gives you even more practice, exercises, and use of what we talk about. If you sign up and you become a gold member, you will have immediate access to our study plans. The study plans, as I mentioned, include exercises to practice listening from this episode, vocabulary and definitions from this episode. You will get speaking and writing questions to practice, to submit to us, and get feedback. We will listen to and read your speaking and writing, correct it, edit it, and give you feedback to help you understand what you need to improve your English even more. So if you want to dive deeper into this podcast episode, then head over to our website and sign up to become a gold member. You will get the transcript to follow along and our study plan and learn even more with us. Head over to the website, which is englishacrossthepond.com, and click subscribe, or you can go to englishacrossthepond.com/gold, G-O-L-D, gold. And we will see you in the pond. Dan?
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Top of the world. Can't complain. Mustn't grumble. How are you?
I am so good, which is exactly what I expected.
Oh, right.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just trying to throw in our episode theme this week. Expectations, or you know, I like to have some fun and say expectations.
Expectations.
Expectations when I'm trying to speak like a British person.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Thank you. So we're talking about expectations as a Virgo.
Oh, yeah.
I know a thing or two about expectations.
Ooh, tell me more.
But first, before I dive into and air all my dirty laundry, I want to know a little bit about you. What are expectations, generally speaking, as a definition to you?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Expectations are, if you expect something, then it's something that you think will happen or predict will happen. And you can have very grand, very big expectations, and then you will expect a lot of yourself. Or you can have low expectations. For example, today I'm having a sofa day, a duvet day. I have very low expectations. I'm going to binge watch some Netflix, some DVDs. So expectations are what you think is and isn't possible, and you have high ones and low ones.
Yeah.
How did I do?
I think you did really well. You met my expectations there.
Thanks. Yeah.
You mentioned a duvet day.
Mm.
A what?
Duvet day.
What's a duvet day?
Well, it's when you spend the whole day vegetating. I'll do that again. It's when you spend the whole day vegetating. You become a couch potato and you don't move. You just lie on the sofa all day.
Oh, a duvet, a.k.a. also known as comforter.
Comforter.
Got it. Got it.
Do you ever have duvet days?
Not really anymore.
No.
It's not as easy with a young one.
No.
You know what I mean? I think when he gets older, we'll probably have another one and start all over. And then, so talk to me in about 10 years.
Yeah. I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Episode 609.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I remember duvet days quite well.
Yeah.
We call it like lounging days.
All right. Yeah.
I call it a lounging day, you know, where you like wake up and you're like, oh, it's raining. It's kind of, you know, like just overcast. It's kind of chilly. I don't really want to go outside, so I'm just going to chill. Anyways, expectations. Are they a good thing to have or are they a bad thing to have?
Well, it kind of links back to last week and confidence. I think that maybe if somebody lacks confidence, they maybe have very low expectations. And if somebody has confidence, then their expectations of themselves are much higher. And I think if we're talking inwardly, of course, you can have expectations about, I'm going to see a movie. I think it's going to be great. That's kind of an expectation. But usually I think we're talking about having them on the inside. And no, it's a very good thing to have. I think we have to have high expectations. We have to aim high. Or what's the point?
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
So I mentioned I know a thing or two about expectations. My sign is Virgo. And we are known for being highly critical of ourselves, perfectionists, hard workers, overachievers, and we often have very, very, very high expectations. Where I think things get a little bit negative can be when high expectations are unrealistically high.
Yeah.
So if an expectation is unrealistic, it's not really a reality. It's not really possible to achieve them.
Yeah.
Adding on another layer of negativity there is, I will admit I do this. It's something I'm constantly working on. Again, Virgos are notoriously known for this, is we kind of project our high expectations on other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So Dan, as my podcast partner, if I have ever made you feel that you are not reaching my high expectations, I apologize.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Ask me about my expectations.
So do you generally have high or low expectations for yourself and for others?
I think actually they're quite low, but I will elaborate on that. For example, like we've talked about this before, if my students get something right, you know, even if it's sort of like 1 out of 10, I get kind of excited the fact that like they got one. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. But also, it is good. But at the same time, maybe if I was a bit more with the students, sort of like, you know, come on, what one is, you know, one is all right, but you know, you've got to be better. I'm in that way. I'm the opposite of like, I don't push them so much because I'm really happy and it is good. I know, I agree that, and I'm very happy that I'm sort of like, you did really well. You said a sentence today. You know, you spoke English today. You did one sentence. That's amazing compared to last week. You know, you should be so proud of yourself. But maybe actually really one sentence in 1 week, you know, sort of. So it is a little bit of a double-edged sword. So with myself, I can be kind of, I mean, I'm getting better. I do set goals and make lists and things like that. And I'm on a roll at the moment with like yoga and things. I'm keeping, you know, day by day by day. But if I do it, I'm like so pleased and like a little kid. I'm so excited, which is nice. But having low expectations is good because you're happy, but also maybe you don't reach your full potential.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's not easy to be me, you know.
You mentioned earlier, though, that confidence is connected to expectations, and low confidence is kind of has lower expectations.
Mm.
And you said you yourself have low expectations. So do you feel that you are not very confident?
I kind of backed myself into a corner, haven't I?
A little bit.
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not just going to, you know, flat deny it. I don't have to do that. But it's more the fact that I'm very easily sort of like satisfied. I don't think it's to do with confidence. It's not that I'm unconfident. It's just the fact that I think, yay, that was really good. Yeah. Well done. You managed to walk to the fridge. Yay, go you.
Yay.
Which isn't really a confidence thing. It's just kind of like, I guess, trying to be as optimistic as as possible. Something like that. I don't know. I'll lie on my couch later and think about it.
And can ponder that. Yeah. Okay. So tell me a little bit about expectations you kind of had. Well, first, I guess I should ask, did you have any personal or expectations for yourself this year? And have you achieved them yet?
To walk. I mean, if we go all the way back to our New Year's resolutions, I'm pretty sure that I set myself the goal, the expectation that I would walk out in the countryside once a month. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How'd that go?
Okay. No, I don't think I did it every month, maybe every couple of months, but at the same time, I did other things that I didn't expect. I've been to watch my soccer team play more, and I've been out dancing more, and I've gone into yoga more, and I'm doing mindfulness more, which isn't to say I'm not disappointed, but there are kind of reasons why I didn't reach all of my high expectations, my goals.
Yes.
How about you?
Have I reached expectations?
Yeah, in 2018, when you were looking at 2018 from the beginning and now you're looking back, do you think, like, I did it?
Yeah, I think I have exceeded my expectations.
Wow. Go you. Is that because you set yourself low expectations? I'm joking.
No, I really think I had a lot of... I think because I've done and I've started things that I didn't even know were a possibility or I hadn't even thought about in the beginning of the year, but then they came up and I wanted it and I made it happen. And wow. I think that's maybe why I say I exceeded my expectations, because I'm kind of like doing and achieving more than I thought.
Mm. Wow. Nice.
But, you know, there are probably some things I haven't done yet, but there's still time. We still have a couple months left of the year. Back off. I'm just kidding.
Do you think that it's hard to sort of like say I did it? You know, again, maybe it's simpler to just say, well, I kind of... It's hard to praise yourself, isn't it? It's hard to be like, I did that one and ticked it off. And are you comfortable with doing that? Or do you kind of struggle with accepting the fact that you reach your goals?
I love when I reach a goal. Are you nuts? I struggle when I don't. I struggle when I don't, but that's something I, am working on. I also took a few months ago, I highly recommend everyone taking this signature strength test. It's the VIA, signature strengths test. You can find it on Google. And it is this questionnaire, and you answer all these questions, and then when you finish, you get this list 1 through 22 of your top strengths. And obviously the first, you know, they're your top 3 strengths, your top 5, and then the strengths at the bottom that are your weakest strengths, the strengths you're not as good at. And surprise, surprise, with this Virgo thing, one of my top strengths is judgment. So like judging, analyzing, thinking, not like judging people in that negative way, but like looking at something from multiple sides. You know, I think about many different sides of things before I make a decision and all of that. And so when I kind of discovered that strength, I've been doing a lot of work on how to use that strength in a good way. Yeah. So I've used that a lot. And like, if I haven't met a goal or I haven't achieved something or an expectation hasn't been met or wasn't met yet, like why? So trying to understand more of why and then making small changes to change the outcome for the future.
Go you.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Lofty goals.
Yes. What is something that you expect from your family?
Oh, goodness.
Do you have expectations for your family?
Mm, Yeah, I mean, more with my daughter rather than my lovely wife. But yeah, I expect her to. The thing is, she's a pretty high achiever, and she's a pretty much a self starter. But I expect her to sort of like take responsibility and ownership for the things that she does, which I think is quite hard when you're a kid to do that. So like, yeah. You know, if she messes up. And we all mess up, you know, we all forget to do things, or we all, and at the moment she doesn't sort of like respond or cope with that as well as I'd like her to. And also, I'd like her to be, take greater responsibility for washing up her own dishes. on a practical level. But yeah. They're both the kind of same thing, which is like being responsible for yourself. And like I say, I think she finds it's really hard to say, okay, you know, that was me, I'm sorry, I just messed up. I mean, when you say it, it doesn't sound that hard, but I think when you're at the stage of your life where you're just recognizing your personality for the first time and establishing yourself as a human, as a kind of, you know, the person you're going to be for your life, it's kind of hard to say, actually, that was wrong, because I don't know, you're in the building stages, so it's kind of, it's difficult, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that we as parents have unrealistic expectations for our children?
Well, certainly some do. Yeah. And some people have the opposite, which is perhaps just at least just as bad. You know, they don't have any expectations. I think it's a hard thing to get right as a parent, to know when to push and when to ease off and when to say, okay, you know, come and have a cuddle. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to jump over that hedge if you don't want to. Or so, you know, it can be tricky, I think. But it's something that in that moment, you just do the best that you can as a parent. And maybe you're not getting it right, but you're doing your best in that moment as a parent. And that's all that you can do.
Yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely.
And that's kind of like, I think, students know when teachers are doing their best, even if the teacher gets it wrong and the students are like, excuse me, I think you've spelt Monday with two D's. You're like, oh, yeah, so I have. Forgive me. Yeah, whoops.
Yeah.
But likewise with the teacher, you know, I think if we know that that person is doing the best that they can at that time on that thing, then we're very supportive and very forgiving. And, you know, the students don't mind when the teacher makes a mistake, and the teacher doesn't mind when the students make a mistake, so long as people are doing their best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm. Are you the type of person to be let down when an expectation is not met?
If someone, you mean externally, you mean?
So, yeah, externally or internally. So basically, if you have an expectation, whether it's for yourself or for somebody else or a group of people or life, if it's not met, have you ever been let down because an expectation, you know, wasn't met?
Yeah, I can only think of like little instances where people sort of like let me down because they promised to do X or Y, and it can be really disappointing, I think, not because they didn't do it, like, say, even something trivial, you know, like remember to bring something round to your house that you need, but you just think, oh, you know, it just makes the world seem like a depressing place. And you think, oh, if my friends, you know, if the people that I like can't remember or, you know, forget or say they can't do it, or then what kind of a world is it? So it's not the actual thing itself, as in you promised you'd send me this thing in an email and you didn't, but it's kind of like, it can be a bit, the bigger picture can be a bit upsetting. Is that a bit melodramatic, do you think?
No, I don't think any feelings or opinions you have is melodramatic.
And how about you? What about, because you have very high expectations and you said that you can, was it transpose? You can put these high expectations onto others. How do you feel when you get let down? It must be tough.
All right, and that's all the time we have.
That's the end of the show.
Let's just say I'm working on my expectations part of myself. I'm working on making them more realistic and not being upset when they're not met. And I think the biggest thing I want to work on is recognizing when something's happening because of unrealistic expectations for myself or for others.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, that's difficult for you. I know we've got to wrap up, but I can see that you're in a difficult situation, because for what for you are reasonable expectations, for somebody else are very high. So you could think, oh, they didn't even do it. But for that person, it was like, well, you sort of asked the earth of me. But for you, it wouldn't be the earth. So I can see how that would be very frustrating.
That's the whole thing. It's a lot of, yeah, you know, I would do it, or I could do it, or I have done it. So why can't you? Just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
You're screaming and banging the table when you say that, yeah.
Yeah. So expectations, make sure they're realistic, and learners, for your own sake, for your own sanity, make sure you have realistic expectations for yourself and your learning.
Yeah.
Because that is huge.
Well, there are students who say, teacher, I want to be fluent in 3 months.
What's your English goal? I want to speak like a native speaker by next week.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Takes a lifetime, my friend.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So should we wrap it up and go work on our expectations?
Yeah, maybe I should go and raise mine just a touch. Just raise mine just a little bit, and you just knock yours down a tad. What do you think?
Sounds good. Okay. And then, of course, we always want to know from you, our dear listeners, do you find that you have high or low expectations for yourself and others? Let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Beautiful. Lovely chatting.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And getting into our grammar language focus this week, we're going to continue talking a little bit about expectations and help you understand another common way to use the present perfect tense in English. The present perfect is a very common time tense in English and unfortunately causes quite a bit of confusion amongst our English students and learners. After today, you will learn exactly how to use the present perfect tense in a negative way, with the key word yet to talk about things you expected but haven't happened in English. So this is a very specific way to use the present perfect tense, but focusing and understanding this specific use will help you utilize this more naturally in your own conversations and even in your writing. So the present perfect tense, as a quick review, is using has or have and the past participle or third verb in English. For example, I haven't finished, he hasn't finished. Has or have with the third verb or third participle or past participle, finished. When we use the negative present perfect tense, as you heard, we put has or have plus not and then the past participle. When we speak, we very, very often use the contraction. I haven't, he or she hasn't, etc. So I mentioned that we use the present perfect tense negatively very often with a key word yet. When we talk about things that we expected to happen, but they haven't happened at the present time of speaking. Remember, the present perfect connects the past to the present tense. So you thought something should have happened. You expected it to happen already in the past. However, today, right now, when you're speaking, the action that you expected isn't completed. It's not done. So that is how and why we're using the present perfect to connect the past to the present. When we have the word yet, it indicates that something did not happen that we expected, which is exactly why we use it in this context. So let's review a couple of examples. I haven't finished my assignment yet. You haven't met my baby yet. She hasn't called me back yet. We haven't been approved for the visa yet. They haven't visited their family yet. Notice that all of these examples have yet at the end of the sentence. This is the most common way to use yet. You could say, I haven't yet finished my assignment, but this sounds unnatural. So it's not very common to use this while speaking. Notice that we use the present perfect in all of these forms as well, again, to talk about expectations that haven't happened. I haven't finished my assignment yet. I thought I would finish today, but it's so difficult that I haven't finished yet. I think maybe I'll finish tomorrow. You haven't met my baby yet. I thought you were going to come last week. My baby is 6 months old and you still haven't met the baby. Notice I just introduced the word still. So what is the difference with yet and still when using the present perfect in a negative form, talking about expectations that haven't happened? Well, we're going to get into that in this week's study plan. And you can sign up to get that study plan, see more examples with the present perfect negatively used with yet, and learn about the difference with still or how it compares to using still. Sign up to get those materials today by going to our website, EnglishAcrossThePond.com, and we hope you enjoy the materials. We'll see you next week for another episode, and we'll see you in our gold community. Thank you. Bye-bye.